It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The revelation of her cancer diagnosis has resulted in a Hopewell woman being laid off by her employer, a Beaver County oral surgeon. Carol Jumper had worked for Visnich Oral Surgery for 12 years before being diagnosed last month with cancer impacting her pancreas, liver, and ovaries. She was informed through a letter that she was being laid off without pay by her employer. The letter has been posted online and gone viral. Today, we're looking at the issue of protections for current and recovering cancer patients that this situation raises. I'm joined now in Studio A by attorney Allison Feldstein, an employment attorney with Eckert Siemens. Allison Feldstein, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. Have you ever been unable to work because of a cancer diagnosis or prolonged illness? How did your employer handle it? What can we learn from you? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Allison Feldstein, what issues does this particular situation, which has brought this conversation into the public discourse, what does it do with in terms of raising issues with regard to protections for current and recovering cancer patients?
Well, this case is interesting because the employer in this case was not an employer as is protected under local, state, and federal law, which I think is why this has gotten so much attention. Had this employer been covered, he might have acted a bit differently under the circumstances. There are basically, you know, there are local laws. In Pittsburgh, we have our own city ordinance that covers discrimination against individuals with disabilities. I would say 99% of the time, someone who has cancer is recovering from cancer is going to be covered. Pennsylvania has its own state law, and then you have federal law as well that protects employees under the Americans with Disabilities Act, as well as the Family and Medical Leave Act, which gives employees time off to recover from such illnesses. So had this employer been covered, he would have acted differently under the circumstances.
So so you're saying that the Americans with Disabilities Act and the American Family Leave Act, that does not impact this particular employer?
That does not impact this particular employer because this employer did not have a sufficient number of employees to be covered by the statutes. So under the ADA, in order to be responsible for what the statute provides, you have to have at least 15 or more employees. Under the Family and Medical Leave Act, you have to have at least 50 employees within a 75-mile radius of your facility. So no, in this case, I'm assuming – now, I don't know how many employees this physician had, but my guess is that it was somewhere under the requisite threshold for him to be covered.
Well, let's first look at what would have happened if he was above the threshold. What exactly does the Americans with Disabilities Act do to protect people? What does it do for someone if, as was the case with Ms. Jumper, she's given this horrible diagnosis, she has to deal with this, and apparently she was planning on at least trying to keep a work schedule. Her employer said, no, you can't do that. We can't have you here. But if there had been those protections in place, what would have then happened, and in what ways would Ms. Jumper have been protected? What would she have been able to do?
Well, under the ADA, employers have an obligation to do two things. They can't discriminate. So in this case, this employer could not have simply terminated her because of her cancer diagnosis.
And would you characterize this as discrimination?
I don't know all of the facts. I know based upon what I've read that basically he's terminated her because of her diagnosis. And yes, under federal and state law, that would be discrimination based on the facts as I know them. So again, as I stated, you know, you can't terminate an employee for a cancer diagnosis. The ADA also requires that you provide employees who are disabled with a reasonable accommodation. And that could mean a variety of things under the circumstances. The parties are supposed to engage in what's called an interactive process to figure out what type of accommodation may work under the circumstances.
Do attorneys normally get involved in this process, or can the employers and the employees generally – talk amongst themselves and work it out that way.
Employers and employees are supposed to talk amongst themselves and work it out that way. There have been circumstances where attorneys will get involved in order to provide advice to whomever their clients are. But typically it's an employee-employer discussion and a discussion where the physician may be involved as well to determine what the employee needs in the workplace to be able to perform the job. Courts have held, and it's pretty consistent across the board, that reasonable time off because of an illness is a reasonable accommodation under the ADA. So employees are, in most circumstances, employers are required to give employees time off to deal with those issues.
But if, as was the case here, the employer has a small shop, then the employer can do this?
Well, if the employer has a small shop that does not put it within the statutes that protect this type of thing. Again, in this particular instance, you know, not as far as I'm aware, Beaver County, Hopewell does not have a statute that addresses discrimination. But there are various other ordinances all throughout the country that would and that may cover this particular employer.
And what the attorney here for Dr. Visnich says that this is all the result of a misunderstanding, that Dr. Visnich placed Ms. Jumper on layoff status so that she could collect unemployment compensation during her treatment. So does it sound to you as though there might have been a misunderstanding here?
I certainly think there could have been a miscommunication. I don't think the physician in this case was the best communicator. I think perhaps this wouldn't have happened had he sat down and had a discussion with her and they could have worked this out together. He is correct that if she's put on layoff status and is still able and available to work and she's put on layoff status for no reason that's attributable to her, then she would be entitled to unemployment benefits. So I don't know if that was the legitimate reason that this letter was written. Certainly it could have been handled differently.
And as it turns out, she has filed for unemployment benefits and he has not contested them. So she will receive them. We've also been told or it's been stated by Dr. Visnich's attorney that there is an understanding that when Ms. Jumper is feeling better, she can come back to work. Does this sound like a common arrangement?
Well, I mean, employees take time off for medical leave all the time. And that's where the Family Medical Leave Act comes in, which gives employees 12 weeks of leave in any given year of unpaid leave with the requirement that the employer reinstate them. But sure, employers are often giving employees time off and allowing them to come back once they're able to work.
And we are talking about the issue of, in particular, of a woman who was laid off by her employer after being diagnosed with cancer. If you have a comment or question, if you've been in a similar situation, we'd like to hear from you at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. What happened in your particular situation? We'd love to have you share your story with us about how a situation was handled by an employer. And again, our number, 412-246-2002, to join the conversation. Our guest, once again, is Allison Feldstein. She's an employment attorney with Eckert Siemens. And what are some of the other issues that this particular case raises? It seems that everybody, we mentioned the letter that was written by the employer to the employee, stating that she was being laid off until she was feeling better. There's been a lot of reaction to this. It's created a public conversation about these particular situations and how they should be handled. What are some of the questions that you're hearing asked? What are some of the questions that have come to mind for you as an attorney?
Well, I think certainly a big issue is how employers are communicating with their employees. You know, there are two pieces to this. There's the business issue, the morality issue, the human issue, and then certainly you have the legal issue. And I think that, you know, even though there may not be a legal claim in this particular case, there's certainly a way that this employer could have communicated in order to really avoid this type of situation. I think from an employer's perspective, and what I would counsel my clients to do is to ensure that they're communicating in a way that is viewed as fair. Because even if you haven't violated the law, you can be held accountable if you have not treated someone fairly.
Is it a reasonable expectation that something, you know, that a policy in the event of X, Y, or Z diagnosis, that there's a stated policy in place that an employee knows of going in when they sign whatever employment contract or agreement that is in place?
Sure. And most employers, I would say 99% of them, have those types of policies in place. Employee handbooks that contain leave of absence policies. They cover family and medical leave as well as personal leaves of absence that may be necessary to extend a leave. And reasonable accommodation provisions as well are becoming part of employee handbooks. So employees should know up front. They're required to be informed of what their rights are in terms of taking time off from work in these circumstances, and their rights to be accommodated once they come back to work if their medical condition necessitates it.
The Americans with Disabilities Act is just about a quarter of a century old now. What was it like before we had this kind of legislation?
Before employers, you know, we had the Rehabilitation Act, which dealt with federal employers. But employers didn't have these same types of obligations unless, of course, there were state laws that were requiring it. The Americans with Disabilities Act was recently amended in 2008 to actually make it more difficult. I don't want to say more difficult for an employer, but more conditions are being considered disabilities under the way the act's being interpreted, which again is requiring an employer. It's putting more of the onus on the employer to accommodate those disabilities.
412-246-2002 is the number to call to join the conversation. And again, 412-246-2002 to take part in our discussion with attorney Allison Feldstein, an employment attorney with Eckert Siemens. Let's go to the phones. We have Julie in Hopewell. Julie, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hopewell is where this whole case emerged.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I do enjoy listening to your show. I read about this in the newspaper. I did not see it online. Was it on Facebook?
Are you talking about the letter?
Yeah, I'm talking about the letter that the oral surgeon wrote.
Yeah, my understanding is that the letter was posted on Facebook and then it kind of made its way all over social media.
Yeah. My question is, and I do know the oral surgeon. Actually, I've used him 4 times for all my kids with some teeth. It's a very small practice. And my question is, this employee, who actually I also know, is she receiving more benefits because he wrote this letter? Because this guy is such a nice guy, I would see him writing this letter so that she could receive more benefits rather than, say, unpaid family medical leave.
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying and what his attorney is saying, which is that he did this and wrote the letter in the way that he did to ensure she would be eligible for unemployment compensation benefits.
Well, based on knowing these people involved, I would believe that 100%.
Yeah, and you know, I have no reason to discount that or not believe that. I suppose my only thought as far as that's concerned is that it probably could have been communicated better. Sometimes it's better just to have a conversation as opposed to putting it in a letter that way.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Perhaps it was thought it had to be in a letter in order for her to receive the benefits which she was going to receive.
That's what this particular oral surgeon's attorney is saying was the motivation for his writing the letter. And we can't know for sure what the motives were, but that's what we're being told. There are people such as Julie, and by the way, Julie, thank you for that phone call, who are coming to this particular individual's defense. In the meantime, what recourse does Ms. Jumper have if she wanted to make some kind of case? What would she then be able to do?
Well, I think it's going to be very difficult for her to make some sort of case. The only potential claim, and this is me thinking way outside the box. But the only potential claim she could really bring would be some sort of breach of contract claim or something that, you know, claiming that this individual caused her to believe that if this circumstance arose or if she were in a situation where she needed to take time off, that she was contractually entitled to it as well as to return to work at the conclusion of her absence. That's a little far-fetched, I think. Typically, the way you establish one of these claims is by bringing yourself under one of these statutes. And unfortunately for her, she's not covered.
And is – you know, when you listen to the whatever buzz there may be in the professional legal community in Pittsburgh about this, is there some surprise that a case like this has come to such so much public scrutiny? Because the laws seem to be pretty clear cut that you wouldn't have the kind of contentious issue that we seem to have here, or at least in the court of public opinion.
I don't think it's anything that's generating from in the legal community a ton of discussion, because you're right. It is pretty straightforward what is covered and what's not. I think it's come to everybody's attention because of the human aspect to the whole story. And I think it's certainly caused employers to think about the way in which they communicate with their employees and to double check and look back at their policies and make sure that they are in fact in compliance. Nobody wants this kind of publicity.
Allison Feldstein is an employment attorney with Eckert Siemens and joined us here in Studio A. Thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, we'll mark the centennial of the founding of the VFW. It happened right here in Pittsburgh. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.